Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Acts. Luke is credited with writing both the book of Acts and the gospel that bears his name. And one of the more significant contributions that Luke made to our understanding of Jesus is the story of the ascension. That's the moment when Jesus was lifted up to heaven. This detail wasn't included in the other Gospels, but we read about it in both the Gospel of Luke at the end of that Gospel and again at the beginning of the book of Acts. So let's listen now to our scripture passage. It comes from the first chapter of Acts, and I'll read verses 6 through 14. And this is what the scripture says. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who's been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." They then returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. All of these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. Amen. Mount Olivet, or the Mount of Olives, is a hill located just east of the old city of Jerusalem. When I was there a few years ago, we walked down that hill, retracing Jesus' triumphal entry into the city. We stopped at a number of churches along the way, including the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which marks the location of Jesus' crucifixion and his burial. It's also one of the most popular sites to visit. One church that I did not get to visit is the Chapel of the Ascension, which stands on top of the Mount of Olives. This chapel marks the traditional site of Jesus' ascension into heaven. And inside that church is an interesting artifact. There's a footprint set in stone. And according to tradition, that footprint is Jesus's, and it marks the spot where he stood right before he ascended into heaven. Now, I have my doubts about the authenticity of that footprint, but I don't want to overlook the importance of the ascension. Now, Jesus had spent 3 years training his followers, and this continued in the days after his resurrection because he wanted to make sure that they would be able to continue his ministry. Now, we read about Jesus' final directions to them in the first chapter of Acts. And to me, there are three things that stand out that Jesus shared with them. These are three things that helped these disciples and will help us carry on the ministry of Christ. Now, the first piece involves being students of Scripture. Luke, who, as I said, is the author of Acts, summarized in verses 1 through 3 what Jesus taught in the days that followed his resurrection and ascension. This was a 40-day period. Now, the number 40 is significant, and it should catch our attention. That number is significant in the Bible, as it often represents a time of preparation. Now, in the Bible, we see several examples of this. Noah spent 40 days in the ark. The Israelites walked around in the wilderness for 40 years. And Jesus was tempted for 40 days prior to the beginning of his ministry. Now, the number 40 clues us into the fact that the time between Easter and the Ascension would be a time of preparation. Now, Jesus used those days to train his disciples for their mission and to make sure that they would be ready to carry on his ministry. He wanted to make sure that they had grasped what was important. And Luke tells us that the main lessons that Jesus wanted his disciples to learn were rooted in Scripture. At the end of the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 24, Jesus said, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." You see, Jesus placed his life, death, and resurrection into the whole story of Scripture. And so, if you want to understand Jesus and his mission, then you need to study the Bible. Now, we need to read and reflect on the Scriptures every day because that helps keep us grounded in what's most important and what we're called to do as followers of Christ. A second piece of instruction that Jesus gave his disciples is the importance of waiting for God. We see in verse 4 that Jesus didn't want his disciples running off on their own, but rather he wanted them to wait for the promise of the Father and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I imagine the disciples weren't thrilled with this because people often have a hard time waiting. But Jesus told them to wait. He told them to wait in Jerusalem for God to give them the Holy Spirit. And yet the disciples responded by asking, "Is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" It's like they were asking, "Are you finally going to set up your kingdom and give us positions of power?" Now that question really reveals a lack of understanding. The disciples still didn't get it, which honestly happened quite frequently when they were with Jesus. Think about that time when they bickered about who's the greatest, or that time when James and John asked to sit at Jesus' left and right. They were focused on the wrong things. And now, 40 days after the resurrection, they still don't get it. They fail to understand that Jesus wants them to proclaim the message of God's kingdom to the entire world and to work to make that a reality. Now, Jesus knows that this ministry, this task that they're called to do, won't be easy. They won't be able to do it on their own, and they won't always understand. But Jesus chose them so that God's power could be revealed through their lives, and that power would come through the Holy Spirit. Now, to their credit, the disciples and the women who were with them stayed together as they waited. Waiting is hard enough as it is. It's even harder if you go alone. And they realized this, and so they made the wise choice of staying together as they waited. Now, waiting in the biblical sense is not a passive activity. As we wait on God, we actively seek God's presence, and we do so in a posture of anticipation. We expect God to act and to do something special. Jesus told his disciples to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit, and they should do so by not sitting around wondering when God will come, but by devoting themselves to prayer. According to verse 14, that's what they did. They waited together, and they prayed together. Now, one of the problems in churches almost everywhere is a failure to wait for the Holy Spirit. Now, it's human nature to want to do and to act because we don't like sitting around. And I think right now many of us are eager to get back to normal life. We're tired of waiting in our homes, waiting for the coronavirus to end. But what is the Holy Spirit trying to teach us in this time of waiting? Let's remember that the work and ministry of Jesus is done through the Spirit. And when we don't wait in prayer, we will fail because we try to do things on our own, under our own power, not the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his followers to wait for the Holy Spirit to come to them. And that's what they did. They waited together. They prayed together. And they believed God would act. Now, in our own waiting, are we anticipating the Holy Spirit to show us a way forward in this rapidly changing world? Are we expecting God to work in us and work through us? We've been given this time of waiting. Let's use it wisely. And a third task that Jesus gave his followers is to be witnesses. Jesus told his disciples that once the Holy Spirit empowered them, they would be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This comes out of verse 8, which really is a good summary of the whole book of Acts. This book is about missions and bearing witness to Jesus Christ. But what does it mean to be a witness? Now, this is one of those churchy words that we have to carefully define. In the first century, when a new emperor came to power, heralds were sent off to every corner of the Roman Empire to announce this news and to be witnesses to the new emperor. People would have seen this as good news because it meant there would be order and peace. Now, think about this image in relation to verse 6, where the disciples ask about the kingdom and when it will come about. Well, Jesus told them before that God's kingdom, in one sense, had already arrived, and yet the kingdom hadn't fully arrived yet, with the world living fully under God's rule. So Jesus wanted his disciples to see that they live in an in-between time, and that's why he called them to go out and proclaim the good news of his kingdom. Now, to do this work, they would begin right at home in Jerusalem. It was the place they knew best. It was like their own backyard. But from there, Jesus called them to go to some unfriendly places, places like Judea and Samaria. Let's keep in mind that Samaria was Israel's bitter enemy. Samaritans and Israelites didn't like each other. They hated one another. And so it would be a very difficult place to send someone for ministry, as Jesus was calling his disciples to do. But that wasn't even the least dangerous place. Jesus called them to go to the ends of the earth, to places like the Roman Empire, to every corner of that empire. And this would be dangerous work because the Roman Empire already had a Lord. Caesar was considered divine. He viewed himself as a son of God. He called himself a Messiah, and he would not take kindly to anyone else who claimed to be a Lord or a Messiah or a son of God. Now, in going to all these places, the disciples would bear good news, though not everyone would see it as good news. People like Caesar would see it as bad news. And so it's no coincidence that the Greek word for witness is the same word for martyr. Now, being a witness for Jesus comes with risk. It's challenging. It isn't always easy. And it's more than just talking about how a person gets to heaven. Being a witness involves proclaiming the lordship of Christ and to demonstrate in our own lives how God's grace has made a difference and brought new life to us. Being a witness involves living a life of hope, forgiveness, and love. And we demonstrate that love by doing the things Jesus did, like lifting up the poor, eating with sinners, and healing the sick. Being a witness means that we are actively working to continue the work and ministry of Jesus. Now, after instructing his disciples to be witnesses, verse 9 tells us that Jesus was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. Now, in Scripture, a cloud is often associated with the presence of God. And there are several examples of this in the Bible. You know, God guided the Israelites from Egypt in a pillar of cloud. And the Lord met Moses in a cloud on Mount Sinai. So to say that a cloud took Jesus out of their sight communicates that Jesus had ascended into the presence of God. And that, by the way, isn't really far off, because Jesus is still present in the Holy Spirit, empowering his disciples to carry on his ministry. Now, this passage from Acts also invites us to make an important connection with the Old Testament in the story of Elijah and Elisha found in 2 Kings chapter 2. In this story, the prophet Elijah was at the end of his life, and he ascended into heaven in a whirlwind. His disciple Elisha watched all of this unfold, and then he picked up Elijah's mantle and continued his work. And that's similar to Jesus' ascension. Jesus was lifted up to heaven, and then his followers were expected to pick up his mantle and carry on his ministry. Of course, some of these disciples were content staring up at heaven, but Jesus wanted them to turn their gaze from the sky and see a world that needs the good news of God's kingdom. He wanted them to be witnesses who would carry on his ministry. Jesus wants us to follow that example. Instead of staring at the sky, wondering when the second coming will happen, or talking about what heaven will be like, Jesus wants us to fix our eyes on the world and to look for every opportunity to proclaim the good news of God's kingdom. Now, Jesus will come back, but for now, the Lord wants to work in us and through us. And that's so important right now. We're living in some challenging times, perhaps the most challenging times any of us have ever experienced, which is why the world needs the church to be at its best. We need to stay focused on our mission of continuing the ministry of Jesus. And to do this well, let's keep studying the Scriptures. Let's wait on God's lead. And let's strive to be witnesses for Christ wherever we find ourselves. Would you pray with me? Oh God, you have commissioned your church to share the good news of Jesus Christ with our world. We pray that you would surround us with your love so that we may surround others with love. We pray that you would grant us strength and grace so that we might live faithfully in this world. And we pray that you would fill us with courage and confidence so that we may make a difference in these challenging times. We pray this in the holy name of Jesus. Amen.